Well, I'm joined by Veronica Zaragovia. She's a healthcare reporter with WLRN in Miami. Veronica, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Matt.
So you've been covering this story for nearly 2 weeks now, and it's obviously been a story which has been at the forefront of everybody's attention in Florida and across the world, in fact. Just tell me a little bit about what you've been seeing and what the latest is with the recovery and the rescue effort there.
Yeah, it's so ever since they detonated the remaining portion of the South Tower, then we've been able, for instance, they have taken members of the media to go see that portion, because what had collapsed was the side that faced the ocean, and we were taken to the side that faced the main thoroughfare, which is Collins Avenue, and it helped to see just the impact to human life, because you could still see mattresses in the rubble and a couch cushion. And we know that because of the ability of search and rescue team members to now get closer to that part of the rubble, that the efforts are moving a bit faster. And so numbers are now actually changing quite a lot from just morning to afternoon even. And we had found out that they've identified three of the most recently found victims. And two of them were, it was a former Uruguayan diplomat and her husband. And then another man who lived on the top floor, and he was actually an engineer who had a background in the very issues that are happening in this building. So that was very unfortunate to see as well. There was a question at a morning press conference Wednesday to the Miami-Dade Fire Rescue Chief Alan Kaminsky whether any of the victims that have been found might have survived the initial collapse, and he immediately said no and left it at that. So it's kind of this situation that continues to be extremely difficult for everybody involved. And it's just like every day there's more grim news coming out of Surfside.
The couple victims you mentioned before, the Uruguayan and then the engineer, I mean, everybody has there's a story behind each person, right? And I think that's sort of part of the incredibly difficult task of for the first responders, for the family, and for the reporters, right? You want to do justice to the people who are lost in this tragedy.
Absolutely, and it's very difficult, to the point that even in Wednesday's morning press conference, the mayor of Miami-Dade County, Daniela Levin-Cava, who's been pretty stoic, you know, as strong as she can be in all these press conferences where day after day she's reading death toll numbers, she broke down in tears and had to step away for a short while. And I think that it's very difficult. Yesterday, there was a funeral service of a family that included two young girls. Two of they had to fit them in the same coffin. So really, this is just so difficult for everybody. It's such a small town. It's eight blocks. It spans eight blocks in length. And so many people knew each other. The condo life is such a part of this region of South Florida. And and as you said, it's just the stories. Everybody, there are people, for instance, there's a doctor whose brother had come down to visit him, and then the two of them are now either missing or deceased. And there are so many stories like that of people who had family come visit, a sudden decision to go stay in this building that night, a young couple who are missing. And so it's like all of these very unfortunate instances, just a wide range of very tragic stories.
Yeah, all these people united by tragedy. Now, this is close to where you live, so you know this community. So what's it like kind of reporting on a place where you've probably seen that condo building, walked past it before? How do you go about reporting on that, a story that's pretty close to you?
Yeah, exactly. I think I can, for instance, I just feel pretty familiar with the Jewish community because I grew up in a neighboring town about 5 minutes from Surfside. And I think that's helped me understand kind of the traditions when it comes to the Jewish community, or when it comes to Spanish speakers, or just speaking to I've spoken to people who work as cleaning assistants in homes, to family members, to clergy. You know, it just, if it's in Spanish or English, it just kind of helps to be part of this community in a way, or very close to it, and understand what they're going through, because it is a very pedestrian friendly area as mm-hmm. well. And so just people, like you mentioned, just people would walk by, and certainly we've all passed by this building many times. And it's been hard to see, though, for instance, for some time the beach has been blocked off in certain mm-hmm. parts. And so just the one area that was giving people a little bit of a respite and a place to get some fresh air was also closed off. And so it's just hard to see it, but I deeply empathize and hope that I'm helping to do justice to the stories. I'm truly, I think the reporters are working around the clock and mm-hmm. and being as careful as they can with the nature of this story.
Yeah. If you're just joining me, my guest is Veronica Zaragovia. She's a healthcare reporter with WLRN. We're talking about the recovery effort in Surfside. I'm just kind of thinking about what's next as well. Like, there's a sort of a broader impact to this. There are questions obviously being asked about the tower itself, questions about other buildings of similar vintage. Do you get a sense, or do you have a sense, Veronica, about, you know, what comes next in terms of investigating whether other buildings may be unsafe as well, and kind of where we go from here?
Yeah, well, let's say, for instance, in Surfside itself, the mayor of the town, Charles Burkett, said that his town has sent a letter to all of the high-rise buildings in the area to make sure that they can tell their residents that it's safe for them to live there. So I think there's going to be a lot more oversight in the past. I've read, thanks to the tremendous reporting of the Miami Herald, about buildings that had been so behind in submitting their 40-year assessment paperwork, that I think that would no longer be permitted. And there might be legislation that will be considered in the next legislative session. And also, just we're hearing, for instance, there's a building maybe about 6-7 miles away from all of this in a city, North Miami Beach, that people were evacuated. You know, I don't want to paint a picture like all of South Florida is evacuating and buildings are collapsing, but there's just going to be a lot more care. We're going to see the impacts of, on the real estate industry and all that's related to it, construction and tourism. And also, I think there might be a look into these condo management bodies, because these are often people who don't have backgrounds in engineering, and they're making very sensitive decisions that could impact lives. And so I don't know how buildings will change that, but I imagine that there's a lot of discussion of how these bodies are formed and what kind of authority they have.
As a healthcare reporter, I imagine you're focusing on the sort of mental health aspects of a tragedy like this, but also there's another side to the story, right, with the recent revelation that some of the first responders came down with COVID or were diagnosed with COVID. This is a very complicated story to be reporting on, but just tell us what you know about that aspect of it.
Right. There were 6 members of the search and rescue team, one of the Florida teams that had tested positive for COVID. And so they're at the moment recovering. And now that so many team members are coming from other states, including Indiana and Ohio and Pennsylvania, the fire chief of Miami-Dade said that they're doing strict testing to make sure that people test negative before they start working. But as we know with this virus, it could be that people develop symptoms later on. So mm-hmm. I think this discussion of vaccinations and being careful, because people are actually, a lot of them, I was told yesterday, they sleep in the area, their tents set up for them to sleep in. So they're not necessarily going home mm-hmm. and spending time away from this. So people are in close quarters, they're working together all day. And even though they're outside during the work hours, it seems like the virus can spread as it has.
Right. And as we were talking before we started recording this, but you made the point that this is a story which has eclipsed everything else. Like the pandemic has taken a back seat while people focus on the disaster at Surfside, right? So people probably aren't thinking about COVID and how to protect themselves against that in the meantime.
That's right. And I hope that in what capacity I have as a healthcare reporter to remind people that there are still, Miami-Dade, for instance, has reached about 72% of people who have received at least one shot of your age 12 and older. But that means there's still a lot of people, both in this county and across South Florida and in our state, who have not been vaccinated. And it used to be a lot of the focus was on how do we get those people vaccinated? How do we bring vaccines to as close to their doorstep as possible? And that all of those efforts are happening, but we're not hearing about them. And as the Delta variant becomes such a concern for healthcare professionals, it's our duty as reporters to remind people to be safe and get protected.
Mm-hmm. Finally, Veronica, that story is complicated and challenging and traumatic as this. How are you doing? You managing to take care of yourself while you report on this important story?
Thank you so much for asking. Well, I always hesitate to focus on myself. I have seen how important it is to take a little time to process everything that I'm seeing. I feel like everybody who goes out there has been incredibly kind and helpful from fellow reporters. We just kind of have an understanding that if we're interviewing someone, that of course another reporter is welcome to join in, or police officers, first responders. Everybody's trying their hardest to smile despite the devastating situation. And I think that certainly helps. And people in this state are very friendly, and that's something that really helps, that while I'm approaching people to ask them about a devastating situation, that it's still that human contact that helps, maybe talk about something that helps lighten the day a little bit. And I really appreciate the question, and I'm hanging in there despite all of this. So thank you.
Well, Veronica Zaragovia, healthcare reporter with WLRN, reporting on the Surfside collapse and the aftermath. Thank you so much for your reporting, and thanks for your time as well.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.